Chapter 49. Harry went downstairs with Draco for breakfast on Friday, wondering what the new day would bring. The entire week had brought about one stressful event after another, and the tension was mounting steadily. He didn't understand why he was feeling the pressure more today than the other days, but he was feeling it nonetheless. Seating himself at the table, he tried to relax. The others were chatting animatedly, and he reflected that meals at Grimmauld Place were now reminiscent of meals at Hogwarts. Sitting at the table with this group of Slytherins wasn't all that different from sitting with the Gryffindors. Different people, but the conversations were eerily similar. It was comparable to the first days back in a new year, when everyone was catching up with each other. There was a lot of typical gossip, and, as usual, a lot of it seemed to center around him. He half-heartedly listened to everyone discussing the events of the week, but he started tuning out when their talk started overwhelming him. It was one thing to try and keep up with his busy life. It was quite another to hear about it. He could hear the fear, the awe, the hope in their voices, and it was both depressing and terrifying him. Turning his thoughts towards his training didn't help him feel better. The day before had been spent learning defensive spells, shields in particular, while downing pain-relieving potions like there was no tomorrow. He shuddered as he realized that there may be a tomorrow for him, but he couldn't guarantee he'd be around for the day after. He didn't hold out any hope that his shoulder would heal completely before facing Voldemort. He'd developed a tolerance for the non-addictive pain-relieving potions. They were only effective for so long. But he couldn't bring himself to ask Snape for anything stronger. It would be an admission of defeat. It was when he started thinking that it didn't matter if he took the stronger, addictive potions, because he'd be dead in a couple of days, that he started scaring himself. He could live with his shoulder aching. Death wasn't an option. Death. Scrimjaw's funeral was going to be that afternoon, having been put off due to other funerals. He hadn't liked Scrimjaw, but the man had died a hero's death, if there was such a thing. He died defending the ministry he served. Fudge would have hidden himself away, but Scrimjaw had fought bravely. Harry couldn't handle the thought of going. Thinking about Scrimjaw led him to thoughts of that corridor, and he couldn't afford to think about that. He desperately needed to pull himself out of this depressing mood, and going to a funeral and thinking about death wasn't going to help. Not that Severus would risk allowing him to make a public appearance anyway. As far as he knew, Severus would be ushering him and Draco back to the training room immediately after breakfast. He wasn't looking forward to it. Severus had been pushing him incredibly hard, and they'd worked late the night before, until it was all Harry and Draco could do to drag themselves to bed. He knew Severus was building his skills up to something, but he still didn't know what it was, and it was frustrating him to no end. He wanted to inform Severus that he was only going to be able to master so much before the final confrontation, but Harry couldn't bring himself to quit training. He'd been frustrated with Severus's teaching methods when he was originally supposed to be learning occlumency, and quitting that had ended in disaster. He wasn't going to make the same mistake. So if Severus wanted him to train up until the moment of the final battle, even if it seemed pointless, then so be it. He absently swirled his scrambled eggs with his fork, wondering if the proverbial weight on his shoulders could get any heavier. Harry? Harry glanced at Draco, hearing the concern and wondering what he must look like. "I'm fine," he muttered. "I'll be in the training room when you finish breakfast." Draco frowned, but let him go, letting him have at least a few moments alone to pull himself together. "Fuck!" Harry cursed, picking himself up off the floor. "One of these days, we are going to have to work on your vocabulary," Severus said calmly. Harry glared at him. "My fucking vocabulary is the least of my problems," he ground out. "Indeed," Severus agreed. "I'm not even going to be dueling," Harry exclaimed. All I have to do is kill Nagini and Voldemort. That's it. I don't have to duel any bloody Death Eaters. So why do I have to learn this? Severus simply gazed at him impassively, ignoring his outburst. Harry threw his head back in frustration. He huffed air out through his nose, staring at the ceiling. He was exhausted. His body ached everywhere. His shoulder was throbbing, and there weren't any solutions written on the bloody ceiling. He rolled his head, stretching and popping his neck. Remus, Draco, and Lucius were standing off to the side, out of the line of fire. Draco had managed to get out of having to learn this spell. "How old were you when you mastered this?" he asked Severus.
"Old enough," Severus answered. "You must learn to feel the magic first."
Harry grit his teeth, closed his eyes, and nodded.
"Many witches and wizards never learn to cast it," Severus added blithely.
"But I need to learn it," Harry verified, stalling for time more than anything, as he already knew the answer.
"Yes," Severus said, allowing Harry his small break. "No matter how precisely we plan, we cannot predict what will happen tomorrow. I had hoped for you to learn this spell long before this confrontation. I did not expect it to occur this summer."
"Sorry for wanting to get rid of Voldemort sooner rather than later," Harry said sarcastically. Severus said nothing, and Harry bowed his head. Taking his frustration out on Severus wasn't helping. But Merlin, Severus was expecting too much from him. Or was he expecting too much from himself? He didn't know anymore. He was angry with himself for not being able to master this. Severus thought he could do it, so it must be possible. One spell, one fundamental spell that could help him more than any other if their plans fell apart. He let Severus's voice explain it again in his mind.
"It is a blocking spell. While it is technically a shield, it is intercepting the curses before they can be completed, hence the incantation, interceptum. Like any wordless spell, it requires a great deal of concentration when you are first learning it. You must focus your magic. It is also more difficult because it requires you to concentrate on your opponent's magic, as that is what you are blocking before it can be completed."
The words didn't really mean anything to him. He needed to feel it. He needed to feel the magic. And he hadn't been. He'd been failing time and again, focusing on Severus saying the spells instead of the magic itself. Eyes still closed, he pictured that night on the Hogwarts grounds, Snape lazily flicking away his curses. He shuddered at the memory, but focused on the wordless charm Snape had used to block him. He pictured that casual indifference. His spells meant nothing to Snape, the Death Eater. That's what he needed to learn. He needed to be able to automatically dispel curses aimed at him from the Death Eaters who meant him harm, even while that anger, fear, and adrenaline was coursing through him. Emotion. Perhaps that was the key. He allowed the memory of that night to flood his body, feeling it all, the pain, the frustration, the inability to stop the Death Eater from getting away. He rubbed his thumb along his wand, feeling the smooth wood and focusing on the magic it contained. He remembered the ease with which Snape blocked him time and again. He remembered the fight, the real confrontation. He jerked his head in a brief nod.
"Stoop!"
Eyes still closed, Harry felt it. He felt the thrum of magic coming from Severus. With the added push of adrenaline flowing through him, Harry thought the spell. Interceptum. It was split second, but it worked. He'd blocked the spell before it could be completed.
Petra Interceptum.
Snape fired spell after spell at him, moving silently around him. Harry kept his eyes closed, turning with the magic. He didn't hear a word, but he felt the Levicorpus spell being cast and blocked it, just as Severus had done that night to him. Snape continued firing spells, wordless and otherwise. Kroosh, intercept him. He'd blocked the spell before he registered what Severus had been casting. His eyes flew open in shock. Severus was standing calmly, wand at his side, his expression one of intense satisfaction.
You just cast the Cruciatus curse at me, Harry accused.
No, you were able to block the magic before I was able to complete the spell, Severus said. The spell itself cannot be blocked.
Harry opened and closed his mouth. I did it, he said in wonder.
You did, Severus agreed.
You were brilliant,
Draco said, sauntering over and risking Severus's wrath by giving Harry a congratulatory kiss.
Draco, get off him, Severus ordered.
Draco broke the kiss, but he didn't let go of Harry. He smirked at Severus. I think Harry deserves to be rewarded, he declared haughtily. Severus glared at him, but Draco's smirk simply widened.
I do not believe you will get any more work out of them, Severus, Lucius drawled in amusement.
They deserve a break, Remus said quietly in agreement.
Severus scowled at them, obviously wanting to argue. One more round to make sure it wasn't a fluke, and then I get to quit for the day, Harry bargained. Draco sniggered.
We are going to make a true Slytherin out of you yet, he said.
Two more rounds, Severus said to Harry, ignoring Draco. Once against Lucius and once against Remus.
Harry rolled his eyes. All right, he agreed, seeing the reasoning behind that. Besides, it wasn't nearly so painful when he was actually casting the blocking spell right. He'd begun to suspect that Severus would be hexing him until it was time for the final battle if he hadn't finally figured out this spell.
And I want you to do it with your eyes closed again, Severus said, eyeing Harry speculatively.
Harry shrugged his agreement, inwardly wincing at the throb of his sore shoulder. The others moved back, and Lucius began casting spells at him. He moved around the room and varied the timing of his spells, attempting to catch Harry off guard. Harry felt when Remus first cast a spell and whipped around to deflect it. The two of them continued to cast spells in alternation, keeping Harry moving. He was panting with exertion when they finally stopped.
If they had truly wished to take you down, they could have easily. But you did well going up against both of them, Severus said.
Harry simply nodded, out of breath.
How could you do that with your eyes closed? Draco asked, the question blurted out in a tone of confused wonder.
Harry didn't answer, bent over with his hands on his knees. They'd worked him hard, but it had actually been easier to do this time than it had been with Severus.
He is feeling the magic itself, Severus explained. It cannot be seen with the eyes. With a larger repertoire of spells and practice, he will become a superior dueler.
Looking up at him, Harry was surprised at the matter-of-fact confidence in Severus's compliment. Surprised that Severus had even given him such a compliment.
This is because of his extra magic from the Dark Lord, isn't it?
Draco said, his brow furrowed thoughtfully. That's why he can do this now, when it'll probably take me another couple years before I can master this.
I believe so, Severus agreed.
Harry had already guessed that, as Severus hadn't made Draco learn it. Draco hadn't been marked as a bloody equal to a Dark Lord. It wasn't exactly something to be proud of as far as Harry was concerned.
Harry has always been able to master spells at a younger age than average, Remus said.
It doesn't matter anyway, Draco, Harry said. I have to fight Voldemort tomorrow night. It's not like I'm going to really master this in time.
I wasn't upset with you learning it, Draco said, understanding the underlying message of Harry's words. I'm just curious as to how powerful you really are.
Harry shook his head in fond amusement. You and your power trips, he said.
Draco is right, Harry, Lucius said. You are a very powerful young man, and only more training will determine just how powerful you truly are.
Harry shrugged dismissively and promptly cursed himself. Shrugging his shoulders was a force of habit he really needed to quit with his shoulders still acting up. He tried not to show anything, but Severus's eyes narrowed. "I'll live," Harry said shortly, before Severus could question him about it. "I'm going to take a shower." He turned and walked out, not wanting to get into another argument about his shoulder. Of course, Draco followed and insisted on an argument anyway.
"What do you mean you'll live?" Draco demanded. "Your fucking shoulder's killing you, isn't it?"
"What do you expect, Draco?" Harry asked. "We've spent the last 2 days doing nothing but training. My entire body hurts."
"Yeah, mine too," Draco said. "And I can't fucking stand it."
"You'll live," Harry said flatly, slamming into their room and heading straight for the shower, kicking his shoes off along the way. With his back still presented to Draco and biting his tongue, he grasped the hem of his t-shirt and pulled it over his head, tossing it aside as well. He cursed himself for thinking his shoulder was healed enough that morning. Wearing a t-shirt had obviously been one of the worst decisions he'd made for a while. It was decided, he thought. Wearing a button-down for battle was going to have to suit Draco's fashion tastes. Standing on one leg at a time, he yanked his socks off. Draco stilled his hands when he went to unbutton his jeans. Harry focused on their hands, refusing to meet Draco's gaze. Draco brushed his lips against Harry's shoulder.
"I don't know how you do it," he murmured.
He trailed gentle kisses along the curve of shoulder and into the crook of Harry's neck. Harry sighed as the kisses turned into sucking at the tender skin. This was so much better than arguing. Draco worked his way up to Harry's ear, along his jaw, and eventually to his mouth. They got lost in the kiss for several minutes, tongues lazily tangling together. Draco's hands went back to the fastening of his jeans.
"Draco," Harry began. He didn't say more, not sure how to tell his boyfriend he really wasn't feeling capable of doing anything more than kiss at the moment, much to his own regret.
"Shh, I know," Draco said. "Just let me take care of you." Harry's instinct was to argue that he could take care of himself, but he kept himself from saying it aloud. Draco already knew he was capable. Draco waited for his nod before turning to the bathtub instead of the shower.
"The bath?" Harry questioned in surprise. "They never used it. But then, Harry never had time."
"Yes, we could both use a good soak in the hot water," Draco said. Harry couldn't argue with that, and he continued to watch Draco curiously. Draco opened the cupboard over the sink. The first thing he pulled out was a couple of pain-relieving potions, passing one to Harry and keeping one for himself.
"You're stocking them in our room now?" Harry asked in amusement.
He wasn't about to tell Draco that he was downing them twice as often as Draco realized. He was fairly certain Severus knew, and that was enough.
"I keep them everywhere," Draco said dryly. "I've always been taught to carry a handkerchief with me at all times. Now I make sure I don't go anywhere without potions."
He'd gone back to the cupboard, pulling out several bottles and pouring some of each into the bathwater. The tub was soon full of bubbles, and the air was filled with an aromatic steam. Harry was reminded of the prefect's bathroom. Somehow, a bubble bath seemed normal there. He wasn't so sure about a bubble bath at home.
"Do you have something against bubbles?" Draco asked, eyeing him and obviously attempting not to laugh.
"You were frowning quite fiercely," he added, when Harry glanced at him in bewilderment. Harry started to shrug, but thought better of it.
"I don't think I've ever had a bubble bath at home," he said. "Only once in the prefect's bathroom at Hogwarts, and that was with Myrtle and an egg."
Both Draco's eyebrows arched into his hairline, and he simply stared at Harry for long seconds.
"Well, I reckon I'd be leery of bubbles then, too," he finally said.
Harry gave him a lopsided smile, as Draco's hands once again went to the fastenings of his jeans.
"I'm sure this experience will be much better," Harry said, inhaling sharply as Draco's hands glided down his thighs as he removed the rest of Harry's clothing.
Draco arched a brow as Harry's cock twitched in front of his nose. I'm sore and exhausted, not dead, Harry retorted. Into the tub, Draco ordered. It'll help. Harry settled into the bath, watching Draco undress and listening to him list and describe all the things he put in the water. There was a potion that would help relax and ease sore muscles. There was also a cleansing agent in the water that meant he didn't have to use soap or even scrub. He only had to sit and let the magic do its work. Harry was amused as Draco glossed quickly over a couple of the other items, suspecting that whatever they were had something to do with Draco's skin always being so soft. "You're sure it's safe to mix all that together?" Harry asked as Draco climbed in the tub behind him. "I do it all the time," Draco said easily. Harry tried desperately to suppress his laughter as he leaned back against Draco's chest. Draco started to wrap his arms around Harry and paused. "You're laughing at me," he accused. "No, I'm sorry," Harry said, his laughter bubbling over. I've just never had a bath that sounded like a potion was being brewed in it. Oh, I forgot. You only take baths with ghosts and eggs. Draco said sarcastically. Who let you in the prefect's bathroom anyway? Harry was silent, thinking back to the events of fourth year. He settled more comfortably against Draco, both of them sinking lower into the water so that it was up to their necks, and letting Draco's ingredients do their work. Harry? Cedric gave me the password so I could get in there fourth year, Harry admitted. Oh, Draco said. I reckoned it was fourth year with the egg, but... He trailed off. It's all right, Harry said. The egg was rather a nightmare, though. So's Myrtle, Draco muttered. Harry sniggered. Does she fancy you, too? He teased. Well, I've never taken a bath with her, Draco drawled. They spent the next hour simply talking and soaking in the tub, sharing stories from school and avoiding any discussion about what was to happen the next day. Feeling better? Draco finally asked. Harry mentally took stock of his body. He could still feel his shoulder, even though the pain was only a faint ache at the moment. Otherwise, he was a little surprised to realize that he felt great. My shoulder's a little tender, but I'm fine, he said bemusedly. He held his hands up. I don't even have any wrinkles. Draco snorted softly. Of course you don't, he said. Malfoys don't do wrinkles. What is this? Magic bath? Harry asked in wonderment. We are wizards, Draco pointed out. Lay back and I'll wash your hair. Harry was subjected to the glorious pleasure of Draco's fingers massaging his scalp. Draco refused to let him return the favor, though, quickly cleaning his own hair. Ready to get out? Draco asked. If I have to, Harry murmured. He was feeling rather boneless, and it was nice. Going back to the real world didn't sound like much fun. If you get out, I'll fuck you, Draco promised. Harry perked up in interest. In more ways than one. Draco's smirk was smug. I thought you might be ready for that now, he said. Harry had never felt so pampered and cherished in his life. Draco helped him out of the tub and dried him off with a fluffy towel, before leading him back to the bedroom. Harry was encouraged to lie down and simply enjoy. Despite the promise he made in the bathroom, Draco produced a bottle of massage oil and proceeded to knead it into every muscle of Harry's body. Harry decided he'd been very wrong about feeling boneless in the bath. He wasn't sure he could move now if his life depended on it. He was surprised to feel mentally alert, though, and wondered what else had been in that bath water. Or maybe there was something in the massage oil? Are you awake? Draco asked, his voice soft. Harry gave him a lazy smile, opening his eyes halfway to look at him. Just wondering what you've drugged me with, he said. I feel absolutely brilliant. Draco smirked lightly. I'll never tell, he said. Kneeling between Harry's legs, he let his hands glide smoothly up Harry's thighs, thumbs teasing against his balls as his fingers splayed against his hip bones, framing his cock. Ready for more? Draco asked. Harry swallowed heavily before nodding. Draco knelt above him, dipping his head to kiss Harry thoroughly. Tongues met and tangled, connecting them. Harry grasped Draco's hips, attempting to connect the rest of their bodies, but Draco resisted. "Not yet," Draco murmured against Harry's throat. "Draco, I just want to feel you," Harry said. He groaned, a mixture of pleasure and frustration as Draco ignored him, tilting his head to the side as Draco trailed kisses along his neck. He surrendered to Draco's ministrations. Clenching his fists in the sheets, he wondered briefly about Draco's need to take control this time. And it was clearly a need. Draco wasn't allowing for anything else, and Harry wasn't being given an opportunity to reciprocate. Not that it was a particularly difficult task to give himself over to Draco. The massage had reached a new level of intensity as Draco's hands smoothed over his body. Earlier, Draco had been running his hands over Harry's body in rhythmic, steady strokes. Now his hands roamed, touching randomly, reverently, fluttering fingertips dancing lightly over his ribs before tweaking his nipples. Left gasping from that sensation, Harry was surprised when Draco's hands were suddenly stroking his hip bones. He was being explored, tested, his reactions studied, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to endure this for much longer. "Draco, please," he breathed. Draco flashed him a smile as he allowed his thumbs to skim the length of Harry's cock. Then he was stroking Harry's inner thighs, not sure whether to be disappointed at the lack of attention to his straining erection, or excited at the prospect of what was to come. Harry eagerly spread his legs wide. Unfortunately, Draco didn't take advantage of the blatant invitation. It was frustrating when he took the opportunity to sit back and simply look at Harry. His left hand absently stroked Harry's ankle, but that was the only point of physical contact. "What are you doing?" Harry asked. "Memorizing you," Draco said. Harry blinked in response. "Why would you..." He stopped and stared at Draco, some of the lustful haze lifting from his mind. Something in Draco's voice was off. Draco was undoubtedly turned on. His hard cock jutting up against his stomach proved that. "And trying to calm down a little before I can do anything else," Draco added. He gave Harry a rueful half-smile when Harry managed to tear his eyes away from Draco's cock to meet his gaze directly. "Are you all right?" Harry asked. Draco nodded. "I just need..." He abruptly cut himself off, averting his gaze and scowling irritably at the sheets as if they'd offended him horribly. That left so much up in the air, and Harry wasn't sure what Draco had intended to say. "I need to fuck you, need to love you, need to take control, none of the above, all of the above?" Memorizing, control. The pieces came together in Harry's mind, and he realized that Draco was absolutely terrified this would be their last night together. Judging by the scowl on Draco's face, he wasn't particularly happy that Harry now realized how vulnerable he was feeling. Draco couldn't control the events of the next day, but he could control what was happening between the two of them. Harry had felt twinges of selfishness that he was the one receiving such special treatment, and Draco wasn't getting anything out of it. Looking at Draco now, he realized that Draco was getting what he needed. "Love me?" Harry murmured, turning it into a question. It sounded sappy, and he wasn't sure Draco would appreciate it, but he voiced the full question. "Will you please go back to what you were doing and make love to me?" Draco's eyes fluttered shut, and he sucked in a shuddery breath. But Harry had said the right words. Without ever answering verbally, Draco resumed his chosen task. Harry could swear to anybody who asked that Draco was worshipping his body. As Draco prepared him, their eyes met. Harry could see the desire reflected in the eyes turned silver, but he could also see the love. He realized this really wasn't about sex at all. Draco slid inside and they were connected, Physically, emotionally, mentally, this moment was theirs, and no one would ever be able to take it away from them. Harry wrapped his legs tight around Draco's waist, holding him in place. He didn't want to ever let go, no matter how unrealistic that might be. Draco had stilled, allowing both of them a chance to catch their breath. As much as Harry wanted Draco to start moving again, he wanted to hold on to this moment. He smiled in sudden understanding. He wanted to memorize this feeling. "Gods, Harry, you're gorgeous," Draco breathed. Still smiling and opening eyes he hadn't realized he'd closed, Harry looked up at Draco. "I'm not a girl," he said. Draco blinked once, before his eyes reflected comprehension, and he smiled in return. "You've called me gorgeous before, and I'm not a girl either," he said. Harry reached up to brush away a sweaty lock of hair from Draco's eyes. The eyes that were bright with emotion and reflecting so much warmth. He ran his other hand over the moist skin of Draco's chest, slick with a sheen of sweat and massage oil transferred from Harry's body. "That's because you are gorgeous," Harry said softly. He felt full to bursting, in more ways than one, and couldn't figure out how to express himself without turning into a complete sap. Physical, however, he knew how to do that. Tangling his hand in Draco's hair, he pulled him down so that he could kiss him, and Draco began to finally move. Slow, gentle, rocking movements that sparked waves of sensation throughout Harry's body. The kiss turned hungry, desperate, as Draco's pace quickened. Harry had been at a heightened state of arousal for too long. He knew he was going to come soon, and broke the kiss to try to warn Draco. But he couldn't get the words out. He sucked air into his lungs before releasing it in a long moan as Draco's hand slipped between their bodies and grasped Harry's cock. Draco's hand was hot and gripped tightly and, oh, it felt so good, slid easily with the massage oil. Draco was thrusting into him harder and faster, and the rhythm changed and he was filling Harry and Harry was coming. "You're gorgeous," Draco repeated, his breathing ragged. "And you're mine." Harry simply nodded, pulling Draco down and holding him close, not caring that they were sweaty and sticky. Harry woke late the next morning, with Draco pressing against every inch of his backside, from head to toes. He kept his eyes closed, reliving the night before. Draco had always made him feel special in ways that no one else could. Winky had brought them dinner in their room, and no one else had disturbed them. The entire night had been about them, and only them. They'd tuned out the rest of the world. He didn't want to think about the fact that it could have been their last night together. He knew it had been on Draco's mind, from the sad looks Harry had caught on his face now and then. Harry had given him something else to focus on every time. He twined his fingers with the hand resting on his stomach. He was going to make damned sure that it wasn't their last night. Unfortunately, that meant he would have to get out of bed. It was going to be a busy day. "I'm not letting you go," Draco muttered, his voice hoarse with sleep. His fingers tightened their grip on Harry's hand. "Then you're going to have to get up with me," Harry said, keeping his tone as light as possible. "Harry, Draco." Silence. "All right," Draco sighed. They found an extremely subdued group of Slytherins downstairs. Harry had to wonder why they were all sitting in the kitchen at 10 o'clock in the morning. Didn't anyone remember that there was a perfectly serviceable drawing room upstairs? Looking around them, he realized that several of the girls had been crying. A couple of them still were, Daphne included. All of them looked scared. The strangest thing about it was that their fear wasn't showing in their body language so much. It was their eyes, and they were all staring at him. Harry suppressed a shiver. This wasn't going to help him get through the day. "So, where's Severus?" he asked. The group's eyes shifted to Blaise, "He's gone," Blaise answered. "Snape was summoned this morning. Came back a short while later. They had a meeting and everyone left."
"What the hell is Voldemort up to now?" Harry demanded sharply.
"I don't know," Blaise said. "We were simply told to be ready to go when you woke up."
Harry glanced at Draco.
"I thought this lot were staying here," he said. Draco was frowning.
"They were," he said.
"Why didn't anyone wake us up?" Harry asked.
"Maybe because you have to kill off a Dark Lord later today, and they thought you should be rested and alert for that,"
Blaise said sarcastically.
Harry tilted his head in acknowledgement, but he wasn't happy. He sent a message to Severus through the bracelet, receiving a response in a few seconds.
"What's going on?"
"Come to Hogwarts. Bring the Slytherins."
"The wards?"
"Changed."
"Apparate?"
"Flew will be connected to headmistress's office in..."
The message cut off abruptly while Severus presumably asked how long it would be before it could be connected. Harry and Draco lifted their heads in unison to look at the fireplace, then each other. Harry's bracelet warmed again.
30 minutes. Eat breakfast."
Harry stared at his bracelet blankly.
"How'd he know that we haven't?"
"Because he knows you try to figure out what's going on first," Draco said wryly.
"And I still don't know," Harry said, scowling.
He was still staring at his bracelet, where the words had faded back to Victoria's name. It took him a few seconds to realize the room was silent. He looked to the others. The fear in their eyes hadn't lessened in the slightest. This couldn't go on. It was going to be a long enough day without everyone immobilized by fear. He mentally shoved aside his own concerns. Whatever happened, Severus obviously had it under control, or he would have woken Harry earlier.
"So, it looks like we'll be going on a field trip this morning," he said cheerfully, sitting down at the table as Winky popped in with breakfast for him and Draco.
"What's a field trip?" Draco asked, looking at Harry oddly as he sat down beside him. Harry blinked at him.
"We don't go on field trips at Hogwarts, do we? I went on a geology field trip once when I was in Muggle school. I reckon the closest we come to field trips would be when Hagrid takes classes into the Forbidden Forest."
"You're not inspiring, Harry," Draco said.
"You want inspiring?" Harry questioned. He nicked the toast Draco had just buttered, taking a bite and chewing thoughtfully.
Draco glanced at Harry's shoulder without comment and grabbed another slice of toast.
"I really haven't been to too many places," Harry said. "Went on a trip to the zoo once and talked to a snake. Dumped my cousin into the exhibit and set the snake free. I felt that was rather inspiring."
Draco gave him a flat stare.
"Your cousin deserves to be strung up by his balls and fed to the snakes," he said.
Harry's face twisted.
"Yes, well, that's rather inspiring, but I'm afraid it's not your creative best," he said.
He suddenly sat up straight as a thought struck him, and he gave Draco a fierce glare.
"What?" Draco asked warily.
"I best not see any Potter Stinks badges today," he warned. Draco choked, his eyes widening. Harry smirked, passing him a goblet of water. He felt rather satisfied that he'd finally sidetracked the Slytherins.
"You know, Draco," Harry said conversationally, "today should be a lot easier than some of my past ordeals, since you're not being a thorn in my side this time."
"Easy?" Daphne blurted out.
"Oh, yes," Harry said with false enthusiasm. "For once I don't have to worry about Draco being a pain in the arse and fucking things up for me."
"Potter, are you sure you're all right?" Daphne asked hesitantly.
Harry sent her a mock glare as Draco sniggered. He stood, following Draco's lead from a few mornings previous.
"I am Harry Potter," he declared haughtily. "Boy who lived, the chosen one." He looked down at Draco. "What else am I?" he stage whispered. "The bloody prat who is scaring everyone because he won't shut up," Draco drawled, but his eyes were sparkling with amusement, understanding what Harry was trying to do. Harry sniffed at him. "You're no help." "Saint Potter," Blaise suggested innocently. "Ooh, that's perfect. Very good," Harry praised. He resumed his air of authority. "As I was saying, I am Harry Potter, the bringer of hope and good cheer to all. I am simply performing the duty that has been laid forth before me." He grinned widely. "So, how am I doing?" He sat down again, quite pleased with the laughter that was echoing through the room. The fear receded from their eyes. "You've been spending too much time around the matching pair," Draco said dryly. Harry snorted loudly. "You've spent more time with them than I have recently," he said. "Why do you think I warned you about no Potter Stinks badges?" "If I'd known you wanted to see a sample of my creative genius today, I would have taken time to whip something up for you," Draco said, smirking. "I think your time has been much better spent. Thank you very much," Harry said. "Last night was time well spent," Draco agreed. "We don't want to hear about what you two were up to," Blaise interjected. "Good thing we weren't going to tell you, then, isn't it?" Harry retorted. He caught Daphne's eye, who was looking nonplussed at the interaction. You've done this before," Daphne said, "going up against the Dark Lord. It's different, but in a way, this is nothing new." "Today is simply another day in the life of Harry Potter," he said seriously. "You take the good, the bad," he darted a wry glance at Draco, "the irritating, and you deal with it."